Welcome back to Gio and Jones here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish in for Gio, Brian Jones dancing and singing you back from break, and we're joined in studio by longtime big leaguer, now working here with Scott's.
Speaking of dancing,
mm-hmm.
He can cut a rug.
I used to. Those days are over.
Man, you was shaking your money maker. We synced it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I surprised myself. There's not too often that I'm proud of myself or something. That was one of them, getting out there, like, and doing that in front of all those people. Like, wait, I didn't know I could move like that.
Hey, it's amazing what fear do for you, right?
That's right. A lot of adrenaline going on that dance floor, I promise you that.
David Ross is with us here in studio. Is it weird when you've played for so long and were on good teams and did so many remarkable things as a player, and then you do this one show for a couple of months, and all of these new people now know who you are when they didn't for the previous, like, 15 years?
It's amazing. It's a whole new fan base. You don't realize how many people are locked in to Dancing with the Stars. And I walk through the airport now, and I've got the 70 to 75-year-old ladies down. Boy, they hug on me. They're grabbing the love handles like, you're that Dancing with the Stars guy. I'm like, yes, ma'am, I was. Thanks. I got two rings, but yes, I did dance in front of millions of people.
So you've got the grandma market.
I've got the corner. My wife laughs her butt off every time. It is a trip, I'm telling you. I travel, and I can see it in their eyes when they see me. They don't know me, but they're like, wait a minute, I think I saw him dance a little bit.
Be gentle with them, David,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
All right, they're fragile, man.
That's what I tell them to me. They're a little aggressive. They're more aggressive than you think. Well, I'm like, hey, lady, stop, don't touch me there.
It's been a while for them.
Well, and it's perfect for your wife because there's no threat.
No threat.
So it's just fun.
Yeah. No threat. My partner was amazing. Yeah, my wife, I mean, you got to know her. She's the shyest person in America, and she just starts dying laughing, just kind of starts hiding in the corner. I'm like, wait a minute, babe, you're supposed to save me in this moment. It's great. People are so nice.
We see the final product on that show. Well, some people do, and because I haven't seen a full episode, but that's a lot of work that goes into that.
Oh, it's a lot of work. It's four or five, you know, and towards the end when you're doing two dances, almost 7 hours a day,
wow,
every day. I've never trained so hard for something in my life. I mean, harder than baseball. Obviously, that's a more natural thing to me, but you're talking about choreographing, learning choreography and two dances within, you know, a 6-day span, and then learning to do it at the studio on that dance floor is different, and then all of a sudden they switch the music on you and then the live band's doing it. And
wow.
Then, yeah, I mean, it's intense. I lost about 15, 20 pounds doing it, and a lot of frustration along the way. So you do the dance, you learn it, and you do the dance on Monday, and then you're so happy that you didn't fall on your face. And come Tuesday morning, you got to forget it all. You're starting from scratch, a whole new dance, a whole new technique, new things you can and can't do with your body and your feet. And it's a lot. It's a lot of work, and it's a special journey. I learned a lot about myself and how much of a perfectionist I really am. I thought I was real chill and laid back, but I'm intense when
you
want
to win.
You don't want to embarrass yourself. Like,
true.
I didn't want to, so I just I don't know that the winning was the ultimate goal, but I didn't want to get out there and represent MOB in a bad way. So
well, that's refreshing what you said about losing the weight, because you go out nowadays, which I don't do that often, but people don't dance anymore. We used to go out when I was younger and dance, and you'd leave the club all sweaty. But that's how you met the girls. You get them on the dance floor. Now people just lean on the wall and they want to talk. I don't want to talk. First of all, I can't hear you in here with all this music blaring. Let's just go cut a rug.
Well, nobody dances together anymore. And probably, you don't even realize you're exercising. It's so much fun to learn a dance and choreography, and then the music play and you nail it. If Candy Shop comes on, I've got the routine down to do, guys. I'm telling you. I've got it. No, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. There's no cameras in here. It was, but honestly, it's a fun exercise. And especially if there's now starting classes, especially in LA, some of the girls on the show and the coaches had started some schools over there where they teach choreography to music, and you get a big kick out of it. It's fun.
So you're here today with Scott's and their Blue Ribbon panel picking a handful of baseball and softball fields around the country to get grant money for improvements, which is really important, because I remember growing up and what it felt so much better to play on, like, a real field.
A big field, right.
That's manicured and the grass is cut and things. I mean, you felt extra special when you're playing a game like that.
This is so close to my heart. Scott's Field Refurbishment Program, and being an ambassador for them and being on this panel is really cool to me, because I do, now that I'm home more and with my kids, I go to these fields, and my nephew's playing Little League, and you see the batter's box at, and, you know, manicure. I don't know, just a little. My nephew's kind of a shorter guy, and so he steps in there, and you're like, wait a minute, there's no strike zone for this guy, for Toby. So it's definitely, and I've become a field snob, obviously, playing in the major league. So when Scotts is going to come in and do the grass for these communities that are going to better the environment around there, have these kids play on a big league caliber field, and they're doing grass, they're doing dirt, they're doing mounds, they're doing fencing. I mean, they're going to make it nice. And when you got a place like that in your community, it just brings more people out, right. and it grows the sport, honestly, for me and a guy who loves baseball. It grows baseball in the community. So I'm super excited.
Now, how will Major League Baseball and Scott go about choosing which fields to revamp?
Okay, so we need everybody to apply. Go to MLB.com/Scott's Field. And apply, send in the reason why your field needs refurbishment, what needs the most work, and I'm gonna get a chance to read all these and tell us why. I'm super excited. Mm-hmm. and figure out the five best. It's like $50,000 that there's possibly that they put into each field. So there'll be five fields that get chosen throughout the country.
Listen, David, Maley Bay, I feel it. That's why we need it, right there. Simple, straight to the point. We're playing on gravel, man.
No doubt. And you know, a one bad hop, and I know we're talking about kids here, but being at the Little League World Series this year, you see how the caliber of play is pretty high. One bad hop for a kid, now he's going to the hospital, now he doesn't like baseball maybe, you know? True. So you want these things to be manicured. Like you said, being able to play on a grass field in Little League, I mean, how cool is that? And you're like, you feel like you're on TV.
You know what I love the most, too, is having a fence. So many fields, you know, it's like four diamonds all fitting together, and like the left fielder from one field is right next to the center fielder. The first time we play with a fence, I'm like, this is kind of cool. We should always have a fence.
You can really hit a homer for the first time rather than like the in the park, inside the park
well,
thing.
Well, most people could. I couldn't. Well, but I needed to be able to run all day.
I'm the opposite. I didn't want to run. I was a slow guy. I don't care how far I hit it. They still got me out at home. So I was, I'm excited to be a part of this. And you're right. That having a fence and be able to hit your first homer ever is, you know, that's a cool feeling.
We were poor, but we at least had a fence, man. Come on. We did better than you guys. We had a fence. We didn't have any uniforms for about the first week, though, my Little League career, but we did have a fence. Now, your Cubs, your last team you played for, you won a World Series with, clinched the Central last night. Any regrets hanging it up? Or you felt like you were done?
You know what? So that's funny you asked that. I texted those guys all night last night, and it was so much fun to watch them celebrate, but I haven't missed it at all. Literally,
really?
I haven't missed it not one bit until last night.
Okay.
Until last night. I wanted to be in that locker room spraying champagne. Those guys, that journey that you go on and the ups and downs and frustrations and the joys all comes down to that game, and you get to celebrate and get into October, and it's going to be a fun October, I think, for Major League Baseball in general. A lot of good teams. I feel like there's multiple teams that can win the World Series that are going in there. Almost, you know, 7-8 teams when you really look at it. They got a chance. So I'm happy for those guys, and you know, those guys are brothers for life. But I hadn't missed it at all till last night, and I'm like, dadgummit. What were you thinking?
Wait, so is there a David Ross movie? What is this?
There's a movie coming out. Radar Pictures bought the rights to my book, and so they're in the process of doing all that. I'm they didn't touch a little bit, but I'm kind of, me personally, have waited, gonna wait till baseball's over. I've been a little busy this year to dive into that. So I don't know a ton of details, but they're working hard and moving forward on that as much as they can.
Because I just saw Joe Madden would like Bill Murray to play him in David Ross.
Yeah, you and me both, right? I mean, get all the cool actors you can. I'm fired up for that. That'd be great. But
tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, it's called Teammate, and it was a New York Times bestseller first week it came out, which was cool.
Sweet,
and
congrats.
Yeah, how about that? And who would have thought? I mean, you know, that's my joke to everybody. Who would have thought a guy that can't read can write a book? So it's been a really cool moment for me having that, you know, being able to put out there about my career, and especially the Game 7 is kind of framed around Game 7, and you know, being a part of having a book, and when you're talking about it and putting your words down, you really reminisce about a lot of things that happened in your career and help shape you as a person. And I really wanted to put out there, I got a lot of credit at the end of the year for being this great teammate and this leader on this team, and I appreciate all the love, but it was a lot of people that affected my career that just kind of came out at the end of my career. You know, guys like Brian McCann, Bobby Cox, Dave Roberts, now the manager for the Dodgers. It's just Robin Ventura. I mean, the list can go on and on of the guys I can talk about. And I really wanted to give some credit to those guys in the moments, how they shaped my career and some ups and downs. It's not always been roses. And I got released by Cincinnati and had a moment with Dusty Baker where it wasn't one of my proudest moments as a baseball player, and had me a little gut check for me about, you know, who you really are and your priorities and how you need to put the team first. And, you know, when you start getting selfish and you're just thinking about self all the time, it's not good. So I learned a lot of lessons throughout my career, and I just wanted to put those down and show how my career was shaped and who I was at the end of my career.
Did you and Dusty interact after that down the road?
He came to Dusty's awesome. He came to Wrigley, was doing some stuff my first year in with the Cubs in 15, and we talked for probably 30 minutes and we got to hash that out a little bit. It was a lot of immaturity on my part, and he was new trying to set the culture in Cincinnati. Yeah. And I didn't handle things real well, and went to his office at the wrong time and said the wrong things. And, you know, you look back, I would have done the same thing. Yeah, get this guy out of here. He's not about the team. And it was actually probably one of the best things that happened. And Theo Epstein, same thing, picked me up in Boston. And at the end of the year, we went to the playoffs. And afterwards, he told me some real truths about my career. And for him to shoot me straight and for me to be able to look in the mirror and not want to be the person he was talking about, it was, you know, you got two choices, right? You can be mad and blame everybody, or you can kind of look in the mirror and say, hey, who are you? Who do you want to be? What do you want your reputation to be?
Yeah.
MLB.com/Scott's Field. Applications accepted starting on October 1st and November 15th. If you want to get your baseball or softball field a nice chunk of change to get upgraded and make things even better for kids learning the game that we all love. David Ross, congrats on a tremendous career.
Yes.
Best of luck with this, and the Gio and Jones house band.
Oh, will play yes, there you go. Come
wanna,
on, bust a move.
If you want to dance, you can dance.
Thanks for having me, boys. Hey, I won't embarrass myself in front of you guys. You still respect me a little bit.
No one else is watching. It's okay. The cameras around you are not necessarily on. They might
be. That's for the next show, right?
Yeah. Thanks again to David for jumping on with us. And again, MLB.com/Scott's Field.